Good evening. This is Till Death Do Us Part once again. And today we will be talking about midlife crises. And to define it, I would say that it is the part of a man's life. And when it says midlife, we are assuming that we're talking about 80 years. So we're going to go in the middle from, say, like late 40s, late mid 40s to early mid 50s, around in that period. It is a period where a man looks to the rear and he looks forward, and he doesn't really like to see what he's looking at forward because he sees an old man. So he looks backwards at his youth and he does everything that he can to maintain it. And that's when he really gets some.
Sometime, Miles, the term midlife life crisis sounds like a cliche, you know, but a midlife crisis is real. A men at a certain age experience, they feel trapped. They feel trapped in their jobs, trapped in their marriage, trapped in their parental responsibilities. And when they feel trapped, then at that certain age, like you said, they look forward, they look backwards, and then they want to just break out. A lot of times in midlife crisis, men, I think goes through a crisis with their identity. Who am I? What do I want in life? Did I make the right decision?
Time is running out.
Time is running out. Yeah.
That is the main thing that triggers this thing is we feel like we're running out of time,
Right.
and that's when we become dangerous.
Let me ask you this. Why do men go to drugs and alcohol and other women during that period? Why do you think?
Well, marriage, it's seldom after 10, 15 years, it's very seldom that someone would define it as exciting.
Right.
It's not many people you can walk up to and it's been married 20 years and say, you said, how's your marriage? Said, oh, it's exciting.
Right. Sure.
How's your marriage? Yeah, most men, especially like if you all having girl talk, and we having men talk. There's certain things that we don't know that you talk about with your girlfriends
That's right.
that we don't
That's
have a clue
no clue.
what girl talk is,
That's right.
and then vice versa.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, and I don't, maybe it shouldn't be that way. Maybe I'm just assuming here, that if we knew some of the things that you all were talking about, that you would say to us what you say to your girlfriends and vice versa, that maybe we possibly could prevent some of these stumbling blocks.
These eras during the midlife crisis.
Yes.
Now, biblically, when I think about midlife crises, I think about David. I think about David walking around his kingdom, bored, trying to figure out what he's going to do, thinking about what he's been through and then what's ahead of him. going through his midlife crisis. And then as he's doing this, seeing this beautiful woman on the roof, and then doing whatever he possibly can to get this beautiful woman, because he still need to feel wanted and loved and handsome and so as a woman who have gone through midlife crisis with her husband, I am going to talk about that later, but I would like for you right now to get into what are the signs of a midlife crisis. Come on, let's share with our audience the things you went through, because of course people don't all go through the same thing during the midlife crisis. Men don't always go through the same thing. But what are some of the signs or symptoms, or both?
If I was to use myself, I might not be the best example, because I was an extremist. I loved to dance. I mean, if I had a margarita in each hand and the music was playing.
Oh, and the music is playing now, right? Go ahead. So the music is playing.
And the music is playing and the lights are low, and I'm at the beach bar at sunset, and I just didn't think life got any better. I was just in my world. But I was not trying to separate myself from my wife. I was trying to get my wife to go with me on the journey. But I was foolish, because my wife was in ministry, and I'm trying to pull her out of ministry to the club. And I did not. I was so foolish. I didn't understand why she wouldn't go. I know she got to know that they're having a ball at the club. They have more fun at the club than they do in church. So why would she want to go to church instead of going with me? I had a convertible. I love doing 90 miles an hour watching hair blow in the wind with violins playing. I had all kind of fantasies, and I was going to live them out at any cost. So I have a choice. Either I go to, she wanted to take me to the rocking chair, or either I can go to the rocking chair or the rock and roll. So I went to the rock and roll, and she wouldn't go. So I went dancing about 3 or 4 years. And traveling, she refused to go. So I'll be back.
So what are some of the signs?
The signs.
What were the signs?
If I was to give wives a warning, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What are some of the signs that you knew that's where you were? Was it those fantasies that you had? Was it
lifelong fantasies?
Okay.
And I put them in the drawer when I said I do. I obviously didn't throw them away. They were somewhere where I could find them. The traveling, the convertible, the music, the wine, the dancing, I put all that away. And I did not plan to ever come back and get it. And I think I think that might be a good example. I think when we say I do, we are, for lack of a better word, experimenting. Is that might be a terrible word.
It
But
depend it's only terrible if you don't it's only terrible if you don't examine why you're doing this thing. If you don't examine it, like I said, maybe in the first or second, if you don't examine why you're doing this thing, that's why people cheat. Because they don't examine the reason. And then when they get to crises, whether it is financial crises, whether it's midlife crises, and boy, are we talking about different crises. We talked about financial crises last week, midlife crises this week. Well, it doesn't matter if you don't know why you're doing it. Then it will fail. It's going to fail.
We're changing in marriage, we are changing our lives for each other. Now, who knows how that's going to turn out? That I'm going to give my life up to be a husband and be with you. And you're going to give your life up to be a wife and be with me, something that we never did before. So the only thing that we have to make it work is I love you. So when I love you only work with so much. So when I love you runs out, and then I go, then it goes into I love me.
And
We got a problem.
that's what I think the midlife crisis is. I love me, and I have to take care of me. And me has been on the back burner for a long time. And
Wow.
me don't want to be, me don't want to be on the back burner anymore. I'm trapped. I'm trapped. I'm trapped, and my dreams are not being fulfilled. And that is where you were. You wanted to dance. Well, I danced already. You wanted to travel. I've been all over the world. You wanted to just have fun, and it was those dreams you had. And your dreams were not my dreams. I'd done those things already. I was ready to settle down. Now let's go back to that, the what I'd stated before. That's when you get married, we found our purpose and why we were married. We didn't go into it that way. And we learned it. We learned it in the process. And so most of what we learned came after your midlife crisis. After your midlife crisis. Let me ask you this. Would it have been a good thing for me to join you? I think, and I'm only asking this because I think within reason, it's okay for me to a woman to support her husband during that midlife crisis within reason. But should I have placed my love for God and love for what I was doing down for your midlife crisis? And then I'm going to tell the audience what I did do. Go ahead.
Well, I was so foolish. I felt like I've been in church with you for a few years, so you can go dance with me for a couple of years.
Right.
So
Yeah.
I felt like that was unfair, the time I put in with you in church,
That's right.
and you won't go You won't go fly with me.
Right.
So
Right.
I felt like I'd been mistreated.
Sure.
I mean, that was a little boy stomping off. I had not grown up.
Right.
I was still a boy. And I did not understand what a full-grown man is.
So are you
All I knew was my desires.
telling me a midlife crisis is when a grown man goes back to boyhood?
He goes back to 17.
Wow. Wow, break it down.
He goes back to 17, and he I would assume not all men are the same, but you know me, I like as I explained, I mean, three margaritas and a song and a dance floor was my life.
Right.
That's all I want.
And how long were you off before you went back to the margarita? How long had you been
7 years.
7 years?
7 years. I was sober in church for 7 years.
Wow.
And I went out and I had 2 shots of Jack Daniels out of an argument.
Right. An argument that we had.
Out of 7 years of sobriety,
Right.
we got into an argument and I walked out the door and went to the bar and got 2 shots of Jack Daniels, and it took me 10 years to get sober.
Wow.
10 years.
10 years.
Didn't even realize how long I'd been drunk. And one of my buddies said to me, that I'll never forget, he says, you've been out for a long time. It's been about 10 years.
Wow.
And it just shocked me that I had
Wow.
been partying that long.
Wow.
I was shocked. So I got to get out of this
Right.
because this is gonna kill me.
Right.
And I got so.
And sometimes midlife crisis, folk don't come back. You won't come back.
No.
God brought you back, and that's a beautiful thing that you made it back. Some marriages don't make it back. But let me say this. As a wife, I think when a man goes through a midlife crisis, if I had to do it all over again, if I had to do it all over again, I would have supported you more. I wouldn't have gone to the bars. I would have gone dancing with you. We could have found a nice place to go dancing.
Meet me in between.
I would have met you in between because one of the I would have set my boundaries. I would have set my Christian boundaries, but I would have done more with you than I did. I would have gone places with you. You and I, we you like certain things, I like certain things. And our love language was different. And so in some I know of a couple whose husband, during his midlife crisis, gambled away all of their savings. We know of a couple. And that was devastating. And the thing about that relationship is that relationship did not come back because that was all they had. When you gamble and spend your money foolishly, yeah, then yeah, you can. And some women, if a woman can't recover, if that money doesn't return, if the young man, if you're gambling and spending family money, not paying the mortgage, not paying taxes, and you begin to lose, when that wife walk away, she walk away. But I would suggest that as a woman, that we can involve, we can if we set boundaries. I didn't set boundaries. And when my mother had a talk with me, I think you and her spoke, you shared your heart with her one day. And then she came to me and she advised me. And so I think that the advice was, show some compassion. What can you do to show him that, you support him? And personally, Miles, I didn't call it midlife crisis. You called it a midlife crisis. Shut up. And most people call it a midlife crisis. But I didn't have a name for it. All I knew is I was in my hustle mode and you were acting a fool. I had no sympathy for it. And my mother was the one who suggested and supported you, and had a talk with me. Well, why won't you go with them? And then I start hanging out with you a little bit, and I start having fun. I didn't go to the bars, I didn't do things like that. But if you say, come on, let's go to Atlantic City, I'd go to Atlantic City, I'd get on a massage table. While you were doing your thing, we ate. I would watch you sometime, and every now and then I'd put a quarter in. And then basically, as we both grew in God, you begin to see, maybe you should tell them what you began to see as you began to grow. Because the maturity in you has blown my mind. There's certain things you just won't do, and that was all. That had a lot to do with my prayer life, prayer partners. I had some awesome prayer partners, the Hintons, Mother and Bishop Hinton. They were great prayer partners. Just a friend of mine from Maryland, Prophetess Juanita Bynum. Not the Juanita Bynum that's everybody knows, but this was a prophetess. Her name was Juanita Bynum. She really was a blessing. And there were others who blessed me. But can you kind of give us?
Well, in any addiction, I guess I could call it an addiction because I was consistent and I had no control over my appetites. I followed them and enjoyed them. But the Bible, the church, and ministry, I had learned how to put up a fight. And if I decided to fight, I knew I could win because I was taught that in ministry. So the only reason why I wasn't winning because I wasn't fighting, I decided to not fight and do me. But if one, I don't care what the negative is, if one has the ability to step out and compare, and that is what, don't mean to be getting religious, but that's what the enemy takes away from you. He takes away your ability to choose. It takes your choice away. But if you have the ability to step out of something negative and compare, then you have a good chance of not falling back in. Whether it be alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, food, whatever. If you eating pork chops every day and you got high blood pressure and you stop eating pork chops and you don't have high blood pressure anymore, you like it better because you're not sick.
Right.
I'm not sick now, so I don't want to go back there. And I had the ability to step out and fight for what is right,
Right.
even though I had more fun and wrong.
Wow.
And
Wow.
so I had the ability to step out of wrong into right and look back at wrong and say no more. If you have the ability to do that, you can survive anything. But if you just want to swim in the quicksand and take a bath in it, and it's nothing nobody can do, or you want to do either. You're just going to sink. So I can't explain it any better. It's just like we were canceling some people a couple of weeks ago, and I explained to the gentleman. I said, you won't step out long enough to understand that you're in a better place. You go back too fast. If you would stay out just a little while longer, stay out for a season. If you stay out for a season, then you can compare apples and oranges. So
Right.
the rain or the sunshine.
Right.
But if you come out of the sunshine into the rain and make a U-turn and go right back and come out of the sunshine into the rain, or out of the rain into the sunshine, rather. You come out of the rain into the sunshine, and you stay in the sunshine 15 seconds and jump back into the rain. You don't have a chance to compare how beautiful the sun is. But if you step out of the rain and you stay in the sunshine for a season, you start looking very strangely at the rain.
Yeah. You.
So maybe the rain ain't a good idea.
That's right. That's right. And let me ask you this.
That was my way of
That
explaining.
was great, Miles. That was great. Let me ask you something. All would you say that all midlife crises are negative? Some things in a midlife crisis is good. I remember one of the things that
Depends on where you end up.
depends on where you end up. I love that. One of the things that you did was you started picking up your instruments, your guitar, the drums, and that became you. You always wanted to be in a band, and now, boy, you are awesome. You play that guitar, you play those drums. And rather than go out in your vehicle, your top down Mustang or Mercedes, you would go to the church and play your drums and your guitar. You got good. And those are positive things. I think when men go through midlife crisis, it's important for the woman to support him. So that he's not left to another woman making him feel like he's okay. Does that make sense? It does. What about that made sense?
Well,
Although I think it makes sense too.
Well, I mean, you look for another woman to I'm gonna say anything.
Negative, right? Well, you know what? Think of the word you want to use. But what I want to say is,
So look at the cold water, like the polar bear club. You know how people dive into the ice water.
right.
You know, you're looking for somebody to dive in the ice water, which
Right.
some, you know,
Right.
is that a good example? Yeah.
Sure.
You know, let's dive in. It's 20 degrees outside, and I want to go swimming
Right.
outside
Right.
in cold water.
Right.
And I. You think that's insane.
Right.
But then there is this other woman over here. She said, I was about to call. I go in the cold all the time. You know? So you go with the food.
Right.
And use a food.
Right. That's right.
But
That's right. I'm with you. When the one that says no really have the sense, right?
if any man think himself to be wise, let him become a fool that he may be wise. I read that in the Bible. That helped me so much,
Right.
you
I wasn't jumping in no ice water. You
well,
crazy.
that was just an extreme example.
I know, I love it.
But if it's not so bad being a fool and know you're a fool,
Right.
what is terrible if you's a fool and you think you's a genius?
Right.
That's bad.
Right. Hey, Miles, are there any triggers that go with this midlife crisis? What triggers it? Is it you being unhappy with the marriage? Is it
Bored,
bored?
bored,
Boredom.
bored. I can't,
Oh,
I don't know anything else to tell you, but you
boredom.
just get bored.
Wow.
Routine, routine. Come home every day, go to the washing machine, go to the pots, and most half the time, something in the pots you don't even like. And, you watch people on television having fun and having a ball, and all you do is go to bed and go to work and go to bed and go to work year in, year out. Let's go to the movies. No, I'm too tired. Let's go to the dancing. No, I don't want to go dancing. Let's go for a ride. Let's go to Chicago and just and don't plan. I loved unplanned stuff, which might have been crazy. I don't like reservations. I like to go to a town and not know what I'm going to do when I get there. That's just my fantasies. Don't need navigation, because if I get lost, we'll have a ball where we get lost at. That was the life. That was my lifestyle.
Yeah, that was your lifestyle.
I
And
used to.
boy.
I loved getting lost. When I got lost, I had my best time. So,
How about the time you got lost and your lights on your car went out?
oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That's
That was
it.
one of my most horrible driving
I
experiences.
know it.
That was
I
I guess
know.
that was I guess that was a good way of explaining my life.
That's right.
I was
That's right.
on a dark road, extremely dark road, in my midlife crisis on the road. And on this dark two-lane highway, narrow highway, like 3 o'clock in the morning, my headlights went out. And I was going about 60, and I had to stick my head out the window and try to see where I was going with these bad eyes.
And guess what?
And the Lord
And the Lord.
brought me through.
Didn't he? Oh my gosh. And you know what? Now you hate being lost. You hate being lost. You want to use that GPS system. And so midlife crises, you learn from them.
Sure.
You learn from them.
Sure.
You know?
Another good example, since you're talking about the road,
Right.
I was on the road, and this is a good way to look at life too. I was on the road, and it was extremely dark, and it was so dark I didn't know where I was at. I was lost. So I had to stop the car. Something that said stop.
Right.
And I got out the car to see where I was at, and I was at a cliff.
Wow. Wow.
So that's a good way to explain my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that something? I remember one of my friends, Pastor Sutton, She was a prayer warrior. And I remember telling her that I'd given up. I didn't want you anymore. It was over. And I hope Pastor Sutton listens to this. I'm going to ask her to listen to it. But she prayed with me and she prayed for you. And I remember not long after she prayed, not long, that's when things began to change. And when things begin to change, I realized that you were going through something. Again, I didn't have a name for it. You were going through something, and I played a part in it. I didn't blame myself, never will. No, I am not to blame for it. But I did have a part to play.
You are you are.
Well, I am who I am, but one of the things, I found myself too religious. You know, and what married couples who are in the church have to understand, you can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Geno Jennings, if Geno Jennings sat with his wife right now and said, "What are your needs? What do you want? How do you feel?" He would be shocked by her feelings. Just like I was shocked by yours, especially when you think you got it going on. I thought I had it going on. I'm a businesswoman. I'm bad, boss lady. But boss lady needed to learn some things. Boss lady needed to know that her husband had needs and desires, and those needs and desires needed to be fulfilled. And it was my duty as your wife to know what they were. And a lot of times, women don't know what their husband's needs are, and a husband don't know what the woman's needs are. You know, not knowing how I feel, what I need, really, who I am. And I think that especially people who are in the church, people who are in the church, they really, really, really get religious
Lack of communication.
and lack communication. And it's all about church. It's not all about church. You have to see what you're, it's not all about ministry. You got to walk in the sunshine sometimes. You got to laugh. You have to dance. Sometimes you'll just put on music on a Sunday night
Think
and
that's
you'll
what
now just
Songs of Solomon is there. That book.
Songs of Solomon. I agree. I totally
Put
agree.
that book there and let you know it's time for romance.
It's time for romance. And sometimes on a Sunday night, you'll turn on music and we'll just dance and we'll just talk and we'll just love on each other. You know what I'm saying? It's important. It's
Sure.
important to talk and communicate and know what each other feel. But for the woman who has the husband who's going through this, one of the things when Miles was on his journey, because it was a journey, wouldn't you say? A long journey, yeah. While he was on his journey, I was doing self-care. I was practicing self-care. I was in school. I was getting another degree. I didn't sit around and wait for Miles to come home. The thing about Miles, one of the reasons why Miles and I were friends before we were lovers. And so our friendship was tight. All the while Miles was out there in the street doing his during his midlife crisis, he would call me every day. How many times a day would you call me? Three,
Every day.
every day, three, four times a day. You know? And I'm like, why are you calling me? Where's your girlfriend? What, you know, what are you all doing? And one day he called me. I'm not even going to tell you the
You
situation
can tell.
about the pool.
Sure.
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Sure.
Anyway, one day him and his girlfriend had a little argument. Let me tell you how deep this was while he was on his midlife crisis. When he was in his midlife, one day when him and his girlfriend was going to his girlfriend's friend house in Florida. And when they went in the lady's house, the lady's son said, "Brother Miles, how you doing? Where's Sister Miles?" And Miles, what happened? Miles almost.
What I was dreaming. I was in I was in a gated community. People in Florida didn't know where this place was, and I was in a gated community, and 1,000 miles away, in a gated community. And I walk into a house, and the little boy said, "Hey, Brother Miles." I thought I was almost fainted.
Right, right.
I
So
said, "Ain't nobody supposed to know me."
that's right. Absolutely. And so I forgot the point I was making. Well, anyway, during this time, we were still having contact. And he called me after this little boy said, "Hey, Brother Miles, where's Sister Miles?" Miles called me on the phone. Shocked. He could not believe it. And even during that conversation, he says, "I need to bring my butt home." During that conversation, I said, "What home? Where are you going? Continue your midlife crisis." But in reality, I was practicing self-care. I was busy. I was getting my education. I was making sure my family, my nephews were okay. I was traveling up and down the road, seeing them. I had hobbies. I was reading. I was maintaining my life. And that is my suggestion to the women. Maintain your life while he is going through the crises. And ladies, let me share something. Never let them see you sweat. I mean that. You didn't see me calling Miles' girlfriends. Did I call you girlfriends? Would you say aloud, Miles'
No,
girlfriend?
she didn't.
I didn't call them. And I had the numbers. You didn't see me calling no woman. Right. But I did not, because it wasn't on them. He was my husband. And it was his crisis. So he had to deal with me. And when I look back in retrospect, it was really a lot of fun. Not fun, but fun, some of the things that you've been through, and I look back and I laugh at it. Like when Linda and Sarah was in the Crab Tavern and you were there with your girlfriend. And I was just around the corner. Nobody called me to tell me. I would have loved to come in the Crab Tavern and surprise you.
Back door exit.
What did you say? Backdoor exit.
Yeah, we're opening
Well, shut Ooh, that would have been fun. And my sister didn't tell me. She just laughed with you, and that's why you love her today. But the final thing that I want to say, Miles, is I think men ought to be careful what their eyes see. Because sometimes the eye, what they see is what they want to experience. And sometimes what they want to experience is not really real. And then by the time they note that it's not real, or that feeling they think they want to have,
it's like a diamond.
You're right. It looks like a diamond, but it's really glass. And when you woke up,
fool's gold.
Say that again.
Fool's gold.
Fool's gold.
That's what the Cowboys call it. Fool's gold.
Yeah. And when you woke up, you were angry with yourself because so many things happened during that process. So many things happened during that process. And it was hurtful. You probably could have been a billionaire right now because even your business stopped. It was difficult doing that process. So I think that if I were to share with my sisters who are experiencing that from their mates, I would tell them to hold on, remain friends, don't let go, because now I see men who have had midlife crisis going back to their wives. And so I would, if I had to advise a woman, I would say, start doing things for yourself. Start supporting you. Start enjoying life. Start making new friends. And don't be angry. Because one thing I was not, and that was angry. Wouldn't you say so? Yes? Was I angry? You think, if you feel like I was angry, fine.
Well, you weren't comfortable.
No, I wasn't. But I wasn't angry with you.
No, I guess you're angry when you're sitting here.
That's right, absolutely. If I was angry with you, I would not have received you the way I have. And then we couldn't laugh about it the way we do. We literally laugh about the things we've been through. We laugh about it, right?
Well, if I had the chance to do it all over again, I would certainly do it differently. So,
wow.
I would have done things a lot different. It's important that one know that there's not a lot of time. I was listening to the preacher talk about a Bible character yesterday. I think it was Enoch.
Okay.
And he said Enoch lived, I think it was like 300 and some years old.
Okay.
So we don't have that kind of time.
Right.
You know, if we had 400 years, 300 years, we could make a few mistakes and it might not be so costly. But this little time that we hear, it seems like 80 years is a long time, but 80 years is like 80 seconds compared to eternity, probably less. And I just say that to say that we don't have a whole lot of time for all of these errors. If at all possible, you know, try to walk together in love.
That's right.
And communicate with each other.
That's right.
And don't be so selfish that you can't see the other side's point of view or the other side's desires.
Right.
Try to fulfill each other's needs and desires as well as you can without hurting each other.
Wow.
And as the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? try to get to the point where you agree and walk together in harmony. And it can't be all about me. If it's all about you, it's not going to work. We have to be about each other,
Right.
about each other's joy, about each other's happiness, about each other's desires. And if you can accomplish that, you'll have a fairly good marriage.
I think that's excellent, Miles. I also think that you need to sit down. How many times do a couple sit down and they map out their goals, their independent goals, and their goals that are shared? This is what I would like to do. You tell me, I want to drive across country. That is your goal. And I tell you that I want, it's nothing for us to go to Italy. All we have to do is get on, go somewhere and get the plane ticket. It's not hard, but it's hard to drive from here to California. So that's your goal. My goal, I just want to go to Italy, eat some real spaghetti, and then come back home. I can go to Italy for a night. I don't care, So that's our separate goals. Our shared goals is to build our school, right? Build our business, our healthcare center. Those are the things that we want to do before we close our eyes to leave to our families, correct? And so write those down and write down how you can work together to achieve those things. And finally, what are your romantic goals? Talk about it. Let's talk about sex. Talk about your romantic goals. Husbands, what do you want? Wives, what do you want? Go in the Book of Song of Solomon and talk about it. Read Song of Solomon together and talk about it. So I think you broke it down, Miles. And of course, counseling, marriage counseling.
Sure.
When marriage counseling is so important when things get, and don't wait till things get out of hand. When you see that midlife crisis and you see that the other person might be moving to that other side, suggest counseling and sit around some friends that sit around some friends that may want to do that you all can, that may be going through the same thing. Does that make sense? Friends that are going through the same thing and you all can talk about it together. You know what I'm saying? And make suggestions to one another.
You could be with your friends, could be three married couples together, and didn't have to turn out like that movie happened. Why did we get married?
Right,
Don't have
right.
to turn out like
No, it doesn't have to.
that. But it's and I was going to mention this earlier. What I thought that might be a good example for midlife crisis was on the Have and Have Nots, Jim Cryer.
Right.
Wouldn't that be a good example? Wouldn't he be a great example?
Miles, you remember, you gave me the definition. I think that you know best. And so you would know best. Yeah. And sometimes people think women go through midlife crisis and then they find younger men, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't know about that life. So I can't speak on it. The only thing I could speak on right now is what I went through and how we came out. You were brilliant. You were wise. You looked at the difference between one life and the other life. And you said to yourself, I don't want this life anymore. I want to be able to come home to my wife and to my home and love and help my wife. Is that it? Okay, so are we're done? So, can a midlife crisis ruin a marriage? Well, yes. Yes. But you don't have to you don't have to quit your covenant because of a midlife crisis. And whatever you do, women, don't laugh at your husband's midlife crisis. Don't make fun of it. Listen to him and do accordingly. Thank you. What do you think, Miles?
I think
Did we encourage somebody today?
I hope so. I hope
I
so.
hope so too.
So we meet again.
Until we meet again,
Let's say it again.
till death do us part. All right.